Execute order, stream to Twitch.
We're supposed to talk about Destiny, right?
That's welcome what this... to the Planet Destiny podcast. Let's talk about Jesus. Some Destiny, folks. Hello. It's your favorite little boys here for some holiday cheer. It's me, Bones. We got Mega Magwitch, Story, the Black Link in Fallout, and the Dawning is here, guys. How has it been? How have you been enjoying our little winter festivus so far? Thumbs up.
Not bad. Not bad.
I like it. I give it
complete honesty. I knew that going into this show tonight, I was going to do so little talking about the Dawning. My plan, I have it written down here. It's just let Story tire himself out talking about the Dawning because I have only played SRL. I haven't done anything else.
You haven't been doing strikes, you mean?
That counts, man.
I did like three of the new strikes with my girlfriend, and I was like, that's enough.
All the PvE for me. Yeah. Well, I'm enjoying it. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say it's probably the best event the live team's done thus far.
Yeah.
I
agree.
So.
Oh, cool.
I would agree. Just by the fact that there's not just salt everywhere because it's all tied to paying for things, you can tell it's a better event than Festival of the Lost this year. Yeah. No, but it is less, the whole event is less costly because you can get a lot more free Treasures of the Dawning than you could get Treasures of the Lost.
Yeah.
Like you get one every week from every your week. Weekly yep. strike playlist, and you can get at least one from the present on Amanda's tag, right? Mm-hmm. That one gives you it. Yeah, so. And hitting rank 5 in SRL, you get one
in
as
SRL.
Well, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's
a lot more gifts immediately.
Has anyone actually completed their book yet?
I have.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
Bones is in
Bones over position. Here.
This yes. PvE boy over here.
Yeah,
let's go Bones.
You want to know the secret? Is like go into the beginning space of the Nightfall, which is the Nexus, and it's back, and it's really cool, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But you just go to the beginning, and there's all of those Vexen dregs that spawn and fight each other, so you can string together those rainbow medals.
Yeah, you know,
it's much
what?
Easier to do it there than like in the strike some
pro
much
tips
just you. Jumping off that for a minute, we do have strike scoring in the Dawning now, and I've been getting a lot of people asking me this week how to get rainbow medals, how to get their melee medals done, because it can take a little bit of a mm-hmm. challenge, especially if you're running strikes at randoms. Like the number one complaint I've been getting is that I'm trying to get my melee kills for the bounty done, but these other guys keep killing things before I can melee yeah. it. And so, yeah, something you can do is anytime you're on a strike that starts off in a public patrol space, you can actually sit in that public patrol space and kill enemies indefinitely. And that mm-hmm. clears all of the bounty. Like Bone said, it'll you can get mm-hmm. your rainbow bounties done really quickly. You can get your melee kills done really quickly. You can get all the bounties done at the start of a strike, basically.
Thanks for encouraging my teammates to not help me in strikes, TBL.
Yeah, that's a thing that can happen. Although there are some safeguards for that now. If you go into a boss room, it automatically summons people. If you die in a darkness zone, it automatically summons people. So
oh, yeah.
If you do have some strike scums, you can pull them
yeah.
in now.
Yeah. That's oh, don't you remember? Don't you remember those good times of someone sitting
oh,
at the beginning
God.
For the whole entire thing?
Yep.
Trying to bait them in to join your fire team so you can boot them, but they never accept the invite.
There was nothing you could do back then.
Do you reckon it's worth just explaining the rainbow medals mechanic just in case there
yes,
was anyone out
for
there
sure.
that don't got it?
So this yeah. is a bounty from Zavala this week, and it's also a circle in your record book to get rainbow medals, and what it requires to do is string together primary, special, and heavy medals, which is about three kills, I believe.
Yeah,
so
each
I would yeah, equip any primary, probably a hand cannon or a scout, a shotgun or something, and then a heavy machine gun, and three enemies dead with your primary, three enemies dead with your special, and then three enemies dead with your heavy in that order. And then when you get those three together, you'll get the rainbow
I don't
medal.
Think you,
yeah,
sword do you have
well
to
too.
Get them in that order? Because in
it's,
my
it
experience,
be,
it's just in one life you have to get all
yes.
three.
Yeah.
I can confirm it does not
yes.
need to be in the order okay. of primary, secondary, heavy.
And you can
just,
wait
have
a
to get
horrendous amount
yeah.
of time
yeah. You just can't die. Yeah. You just can't die. Just don't die. You have to get the medals without dying. That's all.
So you can get your primary kills. If you're me and you're stringing them together, the primary medal pop up. You can equip your special to chain for the next one, and it could be like 10 hours as long as you don't die.
And you're still in the same world space.
It's just the three kills have to be within 5 seconds of each other, don't they? So. Mm-hmm.
It makes you have to actively think about the strike and how you're going to play it a little bit more. I still think there could be more rewards for different types of kills, like headshots worth more than, or precision kills, I guess. So more like Challenge of the Elders. But
I'm with you on that, because the challenge bounties and stuff really, really changed up your loadout. You look and then you're going, okay, I'm switching to my Voidwalker and pulling out nothing manacles out of the vault. And that really changed up what you might be used to. Or, you're like, wow, Sunbreakers kill it this week because of a burn and grenades or whatever. And the medals are there and you get them, but you still can kind of play what you play. It's possible that we haven't seen all of the bounties, and maybe another bounty encourages stuff like that. But yeah, as it stands now, you can still just sort of do what you want to do without anything really. It doesn't take drastically longer, and you don't not get to a certain point total. That was the kind of thing about challenge, but also that you can have to get to that point total, so you can't just mess around and finish it without actually doing it correctly.
Yeah, so Bungie probably tried to, I guess, do that on purpose, you would think, so that it didn't... People who like strikes how they are didn't have it change aren't a forced ton. And then people who didn't really like them get thrown a tiny bone, so it kind
of... I wouldn't have minded some of the, like Bone said, some of the Challenge of Elders bounties to make their way into strikes. Challenge of Elders is one of the few places I saw Blade Dancers actively running around in PvE when you got the arc burn and the melee kill bonuses in there. That was great. You actually, good for you, a Blade Dancer in PvE spotted in the wild. So but I think overall this whole change to the way strikes are done, it's been a good change. I like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fun.
I don't know if we're still on the topic of comparing this to Festival of the Lost, but I just have to give it a few more thumbs up, because there's stuff to do. And to be totally fair, SRL is not new. New maps, of course, but it's an existing feature. But it is nice to be I'm excited for this event because I'm going to do something that's very fun. I haven't heard anyone say... I hate SRL, but I keep playing it over and over and over again, like they say for Iron Banner or something like that. Not
skill
everyone loves
matchmaking,
which is fine.
And racing.
Yeah, but it's great. I mean, strikes as well. But I go into SRL and you have fun, and Festival of the Lost, it was go into Crucible, which you already would do anyways, but put on a mask and it'll be harder and less fun. And I was like, okay. So I did that once and then didn't do it for the rest of the week. Yeah. But no, SRL is fun. Everyone's playing with their friends. I've been in full 6-person fire teams for most of the time, which is awesome. And I don't get salty like I do in trials or get frustrated with myself. It's just oh, you beat me. That's amazing. So it's just it's a good freaking time.
It is.
And it's rewarding too.
You are right.
It's super rewarding. You get rep from running SRL. I think you get Crucible rep from running it, as well as the Sparrow Racing League rep. You get crazy drops. I've seen Aya Saluna's drop in there, which, by the way, make a note of that. Great change, Bungie. They brought back the year 2 weapons to all the Crucible players. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to deal with Classic anymore. Yeah. But you get weapon drops in there. You get armor drops. It's all light level appropriate, so it'll drop around your light level.
Yeah.
Good job, Bungie. That's what I wanted out of SRL.
We like that.
And, you can get your light level up with SRL gear, so they still drop kind of high, as opposed to having light level 3 boots.
And the SRL gear, wear it. Level it up and wear it. It really helps.
Yes. It does. I criticize anybody I race with that isn't wearing the proper gear. All right? You got to look race ready. Plebs. It's important. Okay.
When that camera
you just do that little
across.
Intro, yeah,
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 yeah exactly.
I judge everybody.
Ugh, this guy's got a raid helmet. Mentarian. He's not a threat.
Scrub.
Yeah. Truffle Lupi.
Do you snub anyone for using a last year horn?
Oh.
No.
Oh. Oh,
I snub anyone who ever touches their horn because it's annoying.
Oh, I'm that guy who's just sitting there claw gripping the horn the entire time.
Yeah, that's where you go claw.
So,
what does the jingle bells horn? You know, you can just spam. I mean, whoever has that is always spamming it. But if you
know, I want the jingle bells so people know Santa's on their ass.
He's coming for you. You can't you can't get away.
Have you noticed though the horns seem so much quieter to last year though? I don't know if it's just me,
it's
but
a little
like,
better.
They nerfed the horns. No. They nerfed them.
That horn
does this upset you, Story?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Apart from my dramatic horn isn't as frightening as it should be, I think.
Yeah. I think the loudest one is the Yaller horn, right?
That's a good one.
It's probably the loudest one.
Probably.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I don't... Yeah.
I think so. It's the only one I use.
I'm a big
fan
of frame horn, because it's just like this weird little digital sound. It's really not a horn. I don't think it fits the definition of a horn at all.
It's not a horn.
It's more of like a phone notification.
Yes, I was going to say phone notification. It's like
way cooler.
I, every time I race, I spend the next 2 hours just singing, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's the worst.
Sounds like it's played on a jazz trumpet. That. Wow.
Holy crap, though, that like dubstep EDM race song from the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
If you get that, every time I get that one, guarantee on lap two, I'm sitting there like, and I'm like, stop doing that. I can already hear it in my head.
I haven't heard any of the music. I have it muted by default. And I should
you're missing out.
I should probably turn it back on again, man. Just to hear
like, unmute for Razor.
They've got this new awesome, like, 50 surf song.
That one's good, too.
It's great.
Okay.
It's great.
That's my style. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I like that you threw in this link just in case we forgot what surf
what
is.
Some people don't know.
This is how you surf.
Like, oh, wait. What was that? Oh, with the waves and the...
Yeah,
okay,
the thing people
it.
Do,
I
you
just,
know, on the ocean.
I thought you were talking about something at a restaurant. Something.
Turf
or something. Something
he thought it was surf, like S-E-R-F. He thought, just talking about the surfs.
Just a bunch of surfs tilling the land, working for
Fallout, we get it. You haven't played The Dawning, all right? You don't know anything that's going on.
Dude, I'm so gone. So gone.
But I want to say one last thing before we really dive into SRL and let Fallout get all his talk talking in. I want to talk about the exotics that there are now. We have new exotics and one old exotic back. Does anyone have Icebreaker?
Hold
maybe?
On. No real new exotics.
Well, yes. Well,
really
new-ish.
New exotics.
All right. New-ish. You know, I'm trying to be generous here.
New ornaments.
I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
There we go. There we go.
New ornaments to me are better than exotics these days.
Yes.
Same here.
No, I don't know any. I don't know anyone who has Icebreaker though. No. Like the same. Has anyone
Not
gotten
I,
that
yeah.
from the Nightfall?
No.
I think Enkutch has it, and that's all I know of.
That's
I haven't seen one in game.
Nobody here.
Literally the only one in the community.
Yeah. They said that, there's only one person who gets it a week. That's what makes it exotic.
it becomes
and I'm guessing it's weighted heavily towards streamers, content creators.
Oh, naturally. Of course.
Perks. Good. Yeah, good. Perks, good.
That's the whole point.
They need to put me on that list, apparently, because I'm certainly not getting any of those perks at the minute.
Yeah. I haven't gotten it. I haven't even seen it. And I'm mad about it.
Yeah.
Because I want it.
I know. I watched TBL's stream where he failed to get it. All right, that's all I can say. So I can vouch for the fact that his streamer perks were not active.
Nope. Has anyone actually done those three? It's the three Zavala bounties that have the possibility to drop Icebreaker, don't they?
Yes.
Is it? Yeah. Has anyone actually done all three of those on all three characters?
Yes.
Of course, TBL has.
I haven't.
I
done them on one.
Although, another thing, I guess there's a lot to talk about with the Donnie here. The armor set that drops from those bounties. Now, I could really get into the two sets that you have to buy and the rolls they come with. I'm frustrated as hell about just wanting good armor, and I like get fancy stuff I paid for, and it's shit with sidearm boots and crap.
Yeah.
Okay, but... There is a set of armor for each class that you can get from Zavala bounties, which means it's a little slow because, you know, you get three of those, you're going to get like one piece
a week.
Yep. But they are gold paisley. on different parts of the things. And yep. It's like the coolest thing. And I know there's some old blues, so I really like what they did with bringing back some of the blue designs this time around as legendaries. But those armor pieces are amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be doing all three of those bounties every week from here on out just because I want those pieces of armor. So good job letting us get a set of cool, cool armor that's not locked behind a paywall.
Yes. Yeah. Because, I mean, well, we're talking about that. They are definitely awesome set pieces. And you're right. They were from an old blue set. There's actually a couple of old blue sets that are unique and never got a legendary variant. I still have, if you guys remember, way back in Destiny 1.0, getting the golden chests on, like, all the different world spaces. Mm-hmm. On the moon, there was a warlock blue piece of armor that you got. And there was nothing else in the game that really matched it texture-wise. And I always thought it was the coolest thing in the game, and I wished it would come back. So it's really good to see them bringing back some of these other armor sets with, like Bone said, a gold paisley sort of texture overlay on it. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. And in the not-so-free section, we got a couple of armor sets in the Treasures of the Dawning, didn't we? Anybody get any of those full sets?
I have a lot. I spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
I was going to say, who spent a lot of money on silver? Because I did. I was like, it was going to Vegas and going broke. I went broke on spending money. Supporting the game, flying the flag, admittedly, but what Bones was saying about stat rolls, like, I remember getting the Warlock helmet, the special crystalline helmet, and then the new revamped blue one, the rimmed helmet. And the rhymed helmet, which I wasn't that fussed about, had amazing perks, like Ashes to Asset, you know, like really good stuff on it. And then the crystalline one, it was terrible. I'm like, why does this not be amazing first off the bat? But, you know, it's just nitpicking. But one thing I immediately noticed with spending money this time around was the variations, and the duplicates were a lot less. I think the variation
the drop rates have definitely improved.
Yes, by miles. I think they really
including
have.
With the exotic ornaments. Like, I didn't get the bad juju ones, and that left a real bad taste in my mouth. Because juju is like one of my favorite classic exotics, and I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, no, I didn't want that. I definitely wanted like lots of things to put on my head. That's what I spent the money on.
Yeah.
but I got a consistent ornaments and stuff like that. Got that new. Couple of the last word ones, and then the thorn, like acid one, which is really sick.
Are you overall happy with your purchases?
Do you know what I'm missing? I went mad. I went mad trying to get one of those warlock chess pieces, the rimmed ones or rhymed whatever, for pretty much every eventuality that I needed. Like, I wanted sniper setups as well as fusion rifle and shotgun. I didn't get any sniper ones, but I got pretty much everything else, so I can't really moan too much, in all honesty.
I got mostly sidearm. Reload sidearms, ammo sidearms. You want me to use a sidearm, Bungie? I guess I got a whole set for it now.
Yeah.
The universe.
I just want someone who does MMO design and the concept of loot and drops and stats and all that, because to explain all of this to me, because I personally have not played a lot of MMOs. I've played RPGs. That's a lot of collecting armor and gear and shooters, of course.
Yep.
I cannot for the life of me understand why I want to get a piece of armor that has like 87% of the max stats. And why that's a thing.
Yeah.
And like, why, like, so, okay, so one helmet has like 60 intellect and 50 discipline. Made that up, but for example. Yeah. Great. That'd be great. That's 100%. What if one drops and it only has like 47 intellect and 30 discipline? It's like, I don't understand why that exists.
Yeah.
Besides, keep playing and get it. And it's just like, I know that's a super like 1%-y thing to say, because there are hardcore players who will play Destiny every day regardless of what loot they get, and there are casual players who get the good loot that they want and then they start playing less. So I get that you want to, you know, carry it on the stick. But it's like, oh my god, I got this beautiful warlock helmet with spikes. I look like a shiny golden god, but also it's also trash, and I want to play with the best setup in PvP.
And I wish I knew the answer to that too, but there's always stuff in the game that it's like, why is that even an option? Why is that on the table? I don't why
ever need to reload fusion rifles faster than I would want to reload a primary.
Why do you keep giving me Gorilla Fighter?
Why is the perk oiled frame on my shotgun?
Guys, that is different. That was 100% a weapon perk is different because it does change your playstyle. Whether or not it's a good change to your playstyle is debatable. Yeah. But Gorilla Fighter does change up the way you can physically play the game. Yeah, I'm talking about things that just like, oh, you get a grenade faster than me. For like arbitrary stat reason. That's really what I mean, which is such like a fine tuny, like I said, one percenter nitpicking.
I see
thing,
the but little like, harm drives me in re-rolling the stats on armor. Generally speaking, like we can do it in the raid now.
Or
why
perks,
not
or just
it?
Like perks.
Yeah, just you know, like you have a good piece of armor, and you should be able to use that piece throughout the whole of Destiny's lifespan if you want to. You know, just by making it more relevant again. Maybe that's coming. I don't know. But I just see very little harm in it. You know,
I'm
even
though
I'm
going to make a 100% into a crappy piece
right now. Mm-hmm. I'd be 100% with you, especially on something I'm buying. But my bold statement is this is the first time I haven't bought any packages because I think all of the armor is really ugly.
I don't think any of it
looks good. I think that the helmets and everything look stupid as hell. That's just how I feel. All these tweets about how on point all the warlocks look. I'm like, you guys look like fools right now. I hate this.
Heresy.
Oh, I know.
I Mega Man, I think you're breaking up.
This is my turn. This is my heel turn on this podcast. All right, everyone's going to hate me.
Story.
Boot from Call.
Oh, we lost Mega. He'll be back next week.
You're fired.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. I really wish I loved it as much as everyone else. I don't think it helps that I hate the shaders, too. I hate the whole color scheme of the Dawning. Aesthetically, I hate this periwinkle.
The Grinch?
This periwinkle blue and gold we have going on is just so ugh to me. I don't like it.
Ugh, all the Who's in Whoville. What a bunch of dicks.
I'm just going to
get all over everyone's happiness. Speak out against the Dawning when Mega stands up to him. Look at them all.
That's right. There are dozens of us, and we're tired of being oppressed.
Literally dozens.
Yeah, you got some support going on in the chat. He speaks the truth. Hear. Bravo.
I'm sorry, guys. We're about to have a meeting I didn't mean to create a separatist movement in the Destiny community right now.
That's it. We're blacklisted now.
I guess you can consider it the ugly sweaters of Destiny. Yeah, that's right. Fine if that's you want to think of it like that.
Yes. It's weird because I love all of the hideous SRL shaders. They're ugly as hell, but I love them because they're bright and vibrant.
There's a couple good ones.
Yes.
Odd description of the word hideous.
Sorry.
I think they're glorious.
Ghast is booger green and orange. Like, that's such
that's
a gross
pretty
shader.
Bad.
Bro, but Midas exists. Yeah. Midas is like the best thing ever.
Midas
I get to walk around as a gold man.
C-3PO. Shader, that is.
Oh, yes.
Combine that.
I have to say, one of the things I hate the most about the Dawning is that they dropped the gold and the chrome shader at the same time, so I have to choose in between them. I say, give me Midas now, and I'll wear it for a year. And then next year, give me White Tiger, and I'll be chrome for a year. That'd be perfect.
Yep. Spice amount.
Those two shaders, it's going to be real tough to top those. It's going to be real tough.
Yeah.
Those look so good.
Ooh, yes.
Put the White Tiger on Hunter raid gear, so all the little Siva nodules are chromey, and the other stuff is black, and then there's red light coming out of it. Trust me.
I'm going to sign on right now and do that. Just real quick.
It's a good look.
It's
Fallout SRL. Go ahead. Let's talk about
SRL.
The floor is yours.
We're just going to keep talking until we run
out
of momentum.
So, guys, that Abaddon quest and the Nova Mortis, I mean, come on. Those are just so easy, right? Go on.
Have you guys been enjoying SRL so far?
Uh-huh. I have.
Yeah, sure. Not to the point where I cramp my hand and have to ice it, but yeah.
Okay, well... You can just throw that shade right at my face, Megan. Is that how we're going to do it here?
I'm sorry. Go on. Tell me what I need to know about SRL.
So let me show you. This is how I hold my controller when I play, all right?
Okay.
It's some weird form of claw. Like, I just have my fingers up at the top.
Interesting.
Like that.
So
you know what I mean?
Okay.
And my controller normally has paddles on the back. Xbox One Elite controller.
Elite, yeah.
But when you tap them accidentally in the middle of the race, you jump off your Sparrow.
And you
so
die.
I take yep. those off when I race. And Link, I've been meaning to talk to you about this for like a week. And I know I could have just messaged you on Twitter, but I thought it would be more fun to talk about it here.
Let's go.
Okay, so I was beating my drum so hard about the Swift River 1 being like the cash money Sparrow for SRL. And it's really good, okay?
It's really, really good.
I'll give you a quote later from like the number one ranked SRL player in the world. He's this French dude named Scaredro. He's really good.
Fallout has a poster of him up on
I
his
do.
Wall.
He hangs up above my
I won't but, fail you.
So Link was like, yo, Fallout, you gotta be about that raid Sparrow. I was like, no, 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 no. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And that Sparrow is actually the truth. And so what the quote was from this French SRL guy, really good. He's like, if you're racing with your friends and you want to win, you want to just get first with your friends, then use the Swift River because it has really, really good handling. That thing mm-hmm. turns on like a dime. And it has so many more opportunities to thrust left or right.
Yeah.
Because it's a trick Sparrow. But if you're trying to go for like your personal best time, you got to go for the raid Sparrow. And
there
it's true
go.
Because it's high risk, high reward. Mm. You will outspeed everyone, but goddamn, you will crash so many times.
Yep.
But if you go through and you're perfect, then you're golden. You'll have a really good time. With
how
the
do you use the right? This is the, these are the sparrows that enable you to boost with the minor problem of the possibility of exploding.
You have to
treat it like a hand cannon.
It's like a tap, right?
Yeah, edging. Do you know what I mean? If I was to say like
feathering the accelerator kind of thing.
Right when, and the really good part about the Sparrow, okay, tell me if this has happened to you before. You start a match of SRL, it turns into a match of shoving buddies right off the gate, and you want to kill yourself because shoving they shove buddies. You
isn't
out
that
of
every
the first
SRL
gate,
game?
And you're like, God damn it, dude. It's so irritating. But if you
it's called
have
the shenanigans, though.
The raid Sparrow, you get that boost right out the gate. And normally, I mean, unless everyone else has a raid Sparrow, you can get ahead of like half the people you're racing against because that boost is really helpful. But story, what you have to do is you keep pushing the boost all the way to the point where it's about to explode, and then you let it go. And then right when it drops back into not about to explode, you just do it again.
Yeah.
And like you're constantly hitting.
So you're holding the accelerator down. You're not, like, tapping.
No, you're holding it down until it's critical, and then you let go.
Okay.
And then when it cools down, not all the way cool down, when it cools from, like, 100 to, like, 95%, that you just
when
hold it down.
It goes from
again.
Red, like, back to the edge of orange.
Yeah.
The way I always explain it to people was you boost forward, you get to that critical point, and then you slow down, and you start treating it like a high-impact, low-rate-of-fire hand cannon. You just boost, and what it allows you to do is it allows you at the start of a race to hit top speed on your Sparrow instantly. Mm-hmm. So you're instantly ahead of everybody else. And if you can manage that boost, it just gives you such an advantage over other people because you're not losing speed. You're keeping a boost over them. Even though the raid Sparrows have a lower top speed than the trick Sparrows, that overdrive boost allows you to stay ahead of basically everyone as long as you're making your turns.
And this is the Grave Robber and the Time Breaker.
Time Breaker.
Those are the only two Sparrows that enable you to boost. And
so I was using them a little bit, mostly because of Fallout's challenge to try to beat his time on them. I didn't get anywhere near it. I'm a terrible Sparrow racer. It's fine. But I'll say my favorite thing about them is when you're in like third, but it's not that huge of a gap, and you get to that last straightaway, and you just hold the button and explode yourself over the finish line. Yeah. Oh, I just the amount of just pissed off people I must race against when they think they have it in the bag, and I just zoom past them and explode right across the finish line.
I took a screenshot. Man. I haven't shared it anywhere, but yeah, it was the last lap, and I boosted like you just hold it for all it's worth and because you know you're gonna explode but who cares, the race is over.
Exactly.
So I flew right ahead of him and I must have beaten him by like it was such a tiny difference, it was like 0.00 whatever. And then I was just like, oh my god. And then he messages me, fuck you. Sorry,
meta fam. Gotta equip that Matador.
This is my favorite message I've gotten in maybe all of Destiny. was someone who beat me at the very last second. And they kind of, like, spazzed out. Like, they really sort of, like, didn't know where they were going, but boosted and beat me. And I was like, oh, damn it. I didn't even see that coming. And I get a message from them, like, 5 seconds later, and it says in all caps, "Oh, my God, I'm so sorry."
It's like, please forgive me.
It's fine. GG.
You said, use whatever, Sparrow. Don't apologize.
I was like, that was amazing. I'm not mad. Right. I'm impressed.
So, Link, one of the things you didn't tell me is that the Raid Sparrows handle like a shopping cart.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Like a bathtub. Yeah.
So bad.
Like a shopping cart.
You have to really, like, you have to turn into the gate. You have to be turning and angling your Sparrow before you go into the gate, or
before
you're
you
done.
Gate, yeah.
Or you're done.
It'll just and throw you off to the side, yeah.
You totally ruined my mojo, because I was watching that guy, and all the top, like, world record SRL times are set with the Raid Sparrow. Mm-hmm. So I was like, damn, I was like, there's definitely something to this, so I'm going to give it a whirl. And I did it, and I was like, oh my God, the handling is so bad, because the Red Bull Sparrow can turn like that.
Mm-hmm. On a dime.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, screw this. And I went back to the Red Bull Sparrow, but then, by then, I had gotten too used to the Raid Sparrow, and so I was turning too tightly into, like, walls. I was like, damn it! Link has got me used to the Raid Sparrow. I can't go back now. I can't go back.
That's my problem. Mentioning the Red Bull Sparrow, this is the Swift River Sparrow.
Swift River
it's unobtainable in the game now, unless you can find a working Red Bull code. This was a promotion for the Taken King. How do you feel about that? Because, like, even though the game is very easily playable, there's a whole bunch of Sparrows that handle in a very similar field, like the Prismatica and all these new Dawning Sparrows. They're very, very, very similar to the Swift River. There is just a slight difference in the boost, isn't there, with the Swift River?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that Sparrow's unobtainable now. You can't get it unless you've got an active Red Bull code that were available from the ring pulls of Red Bull cans during the Taken
King. Are you sure about that?
I think
I could have sworn that the Red Bull quest, that it was opened up for everybody after a while.
Yeah, because wasn't it on a timer?
If it was, then that's great. That's awesome.
Check your quest kiosks, I didn't know that.
Folks,
go down to the kiosk where you can actually pull out all the quests from Dark Below, blah, 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 and look for the Red Bull one. It'll be the one with Amanda. But
that's a great Sparrow. You learn something every day. Awesome. So, yeah, if you haven't got the Swift River and you were worried about that, then you can go and have a look and trouble it nicely for yourself, because it is I did loads better with that. I like the handling on it so much better.
Handling is good. If you want to beat your friends, it's the one to use.
I've run into Fallout's problem, though, with the fact that I don't have the Swift River or any Raid Sparrows on PlayStation, so when I console switch, handling is just a clusterfuck for, like, the first, like, six races for me.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm all over the place trying to get used to turning on different Sparrows.
I wanted to do my racing on PlayStation 4 because I was like, wow, you can get a Matador or an Aes Luna from SRL, and I want to grind that out. That's awesome. Yeah. But then I really, really wanted to get, like, good times because, like, my Twitter followers and I have been going back and forth about teasing each other about who's going to get the best time and blah, blah, blah. And I have, like, a weird bet going with Link where if he beats my best time, I have to buy him a pizza or something like that. So I got used to the Raid Sparrow, and I was like, wow, this is really fast. Like, it's out of control. But if you race perfectly on the Raid Sparrow, you will go faster than if you race perfectly on the Red Bull Sparrow. So I was like, I need to do this here. I can't race on PlayStation anymore, even though I want to get a Matador, because I don't have the Raid Sparrow on PlayStation 4, and I really don't want to go and try and grind for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds like somebody needs to tune in for Retro Raid Thursdays on PD.
That's exactly what I should do.
I'll take you through, fam. I'll take you through, Vol. Spend 15 minutes going through Crota's Inn, get you the Grave Robber. We'll do it.
Oh yeah, he can solve that real quick. Man.
How have your times, Link? Have your times been good? Am I in the future going to have to buy you a pizza here? What's going on?
We'll see. Depends on the track. Because of course we got two new tracks. We got Hakon's Precipice and the Shining Sands. Jeez. Shining Sands, I'm doing pretty good on. I that's probably my favorite of the two new ones. Hakon's Precipice. That one's given me some trouble. I'm having a little bit of trouble with getting used to that map. And from what we've been seeing in the community over the past week, it seems like the rest of the community is having a little bit of fun with that one, too.
Yeah.
Hashtag forklift,
yeah.
Right?
That forklift has its own gravitational pull, I think. It's like a planet. Yeah.
But something we were talking about is we all agreed forklift is like that's like the mid raid boss on that on that map. Mm. The real raid boss is those rotating pillars.
Pillars, yes, absolutely.
That just completely check your run.
I love that everybody's rallying behind this new meme of like, oh, the forklift, it's the devil. I never hit it like ever. But those rotating cement pillars are the bane of my goddamn existence.
Yes.
Why are they there?
Why? To ruin Fallout's world record attempts. That's why they're there. All right.
What I about what I enjoy about Hack-On is that section where you can be in first and second, like really duking it out with with another person, and you'll both have no sideways boosts because you've used them all. You're both bumping into shit. Yes. So it's like a really close race to get to first, but you're both doing terribly. It's in no way going to be a good time. Yeah. But you're like, I gotta win. It's like you're trying to like walk through deep snow at that point.
So I'm at that funniest point in my SRL career now where I'm going back to like every time I make a mistake.
This guy right here.
Why don't you just wait till they're in private matches?
Yeah, I know, right?
Because it's more okay. So, good point.
Don't get drops.
It's more impressive to me if you get a really good SRL time.
Oh, wait, hold on. It's competitive. All right, let's give it like. All right, so let's picture like 3 months from now, and SRL's been in private matches. Someone holds the world record, and it's like 3 seconds faster than Fallout.
Oh,
Fallout's tweeting like, "I did it when there was people." Well,
I think what I'm hearing is we need
my
separate
mouth here, Bonesy.
We need separate categories then for.
I didn't say
when
it's
not
no one's
gonna
impressive.
Care.
Did not say it's not impressive, but it's slightly a little bit more impressive to me, like that you have to deal with the goddamn shenanigans of other people on the track.
If it helps, really Fallout, I'll join you in your private match races and just try to bump into you the whole time.
Perfect.
You'll be the guy going around the opposite way.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have that wrong way.
Set up around
Lakitu,
the turn just like
staring at me the whole time.
Love it. I need to play a little bit more. I went to guardian.gg because they have all the racing times. I haven't been in like a day, but the last time I checked, I was top 100 worldwide for Hack-On and Infinite Descent, but that's probably that was again a day and a half ago. I'm probably bumped
top
back to like
900 on 150. 3 out of 4 maps.
I'm top 6 amongst my friend group of 6 people. So, no big deal, guys. All right. I gotta say about Hack-On, the outside of the pillars being the worst and the forklift that I didn't even know existed until it was a meme, the gates during the day are so hard to see. The damn gates,
yes.
They blend into the snow when it's bright. Yeah,
try
I have a hard time like spotting them.
Never thought.
Try putting the artifact on that changes your screen color. I've got the azure blue one on Hark-On's precipice. Oh my god, it's like everything
I'm not
is
gonna
just
try that.
Yeah, we're getting deep into that SRL meta. Yeah,
that's pay to win. Man,
I tried it.
It's
making
it
so bright, even on the Mars map as well. Like everything is so bright, but I tried it just for the lols. But I try it on a snowy map. Oh dear, it is really, really difficult. If you want a challenge.
It's funny to me that there's a meme that about how hard that forklift is when I think the Mercury map is a lot harder in its actual designs. Like, I don't know. I think it has.
Oh, with all the pitfalls?
Yeah, the pitfalls and stuff. I think it's a more challenging design for the course.
I had one problem on that map, and that's the red and white rotating
the checkered
panels.
Flag thing.
You bang in them, and then they'll scrub you up. Like, literally, I'm like scrubbed all the way up. I'm like, no! You know?
Yeah, it's worse to get hit and then be pushed than it is to just blow up.
Yep.
Like, it's the most agonizing thing to just be like, ugh, and then watch as they pass you and you're like hanging upside down.
Yeah,
on
a, I'm like swiped to the right because there's no reverse on it.
Oh, we going for a ride. We going for a ride now.
Yeah.
Please let me go.
And there was people saying that they swear that the forklift moves. So I was just envisaging, you know, like that it just like popping up and then little legs moving it across to the yeah, side. Just, you know, like
just amazing.
Two guardians in a box that looks like a forklift, and they lift it up and move.
I can see what people are on about with a forklift. Like it's not like my number one bane of existence with SRL, but like sometimes I'm like, I'm going straight past that thing. Bonk. I'm like, what? Where? No, not even
it's
close.
It's the thing that gets you the first time you're on the map. And then you never forget it because you're flying around that turn. And you're like, I took this turn kind of good. And then you just smack into an object that's sitting in the middle of the map. And lose your mind and then never forget it.
I got an epic comeback on Precipice, though. So I might even post that. I'm not sure.
Oh, epic comeback.
I blew up like twice or something like that. I go under, got knocked out. As Fallout says, the amount of shoving and pushing and stuff. And I'm hearing this, it's a rub. If you get rubbed, it's a race. And all these memes from fucking all that. I'm like, no, I don't like being rubbed. Thank you. Yeah. Never rub on. No. I'm with the Joker. Rubbing. Jack Nicholson, never rub another man's rhubarb. Don't rub my sparrow.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's an old reference, but it checks out.
There are some people in SRL, and their only mission in life is to mess with you.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah, and William underscore 36. It's him. All right, that's the guy I raced yesterday. That guy. No. Yeah.
Just bumped you right out.
Yes. Didn't you see that clip from Scaredro? He was trying to get the fastest time on Infinite Descent, and the people in the match knew that it was him, and so they knew they wouldn't be able to beat him because he's just a good racer. On the Venus map, you know, there's that part where you can go to the left, and it's like a secret. Like you go up over the hill on the left, which is dumb. Don't do that.
I never.
He
do.
Goes.
Good to know.
To
I actually need you to tell me all the turns. Oh. I told you before. Yeah. Make a video, please.
Yeah, don't
make
don't
a guide
that has all of the correct paths because I never take that one. But I'm always
the
like, maybe it's faster.
Lines, yeah.
You want to spend as little time in the air as possible.
Yes.
You're faster on the ground, so don't. Okay, so he goes to the right, and there's two racers. There's two of them who are literally parking their sparrows right there on the turn to the right. He's like, what the hell are you doing?
What's the best part is that he goes around the corner, and he just, like, dinks one of them and keeps going. Like, it doesn't really work because of the way the
totally
physics
failed.
Of sparrows work. So he's just like, dink, and keeps going. And their whole plan is, like, totally
denied.
It's so rude that they're just waiting there with, like, a bike strip or whatever
here's another thing that makes you want to put the controller in your mouth and bite down hard. Like you'll be just driving away and then a sparrow will come up from behind you and come underneath you and flip you up into the air and then
fish
just
tail.
Tootle along, you know. I'm like,
tail.
What, how rude, this is just terrible.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of rudeness in Sparrow Racing League, and really with any racing game, especially in something like Racing League. Always reminds me of Mario Kart. Second place to last place is what we call the shenanigans zone, because it's where all the bumping and all the silliness happens. If you're not in first place within like the first 20 seconds of the race, you are in the shenanigans zone, where you're going to get bumped out of gates, you're going to get bumped into walls, you're going to get pushed up rocks and pushed into the air where you don't want to be. But I guess that's just the nature of the beast, isn't it?
Mario Kart had actual physics. That was the thing with Mario Kart. SRL's like, what? You know, like, I just stopped dead for no reason. I've gone through a teleporter and then I go spinning off at some crazy tangent,
even though
I was like... But yeah,
that means somebody lightly
to
touched you on the way into the teleport.
Well,
that's the worst.
At least in Mario Kart, there's game style where if you're in last place, they can give you, like, whatever, like a star, lightning bolt, to get back in the game.
Star in last place? I think you mean a bullet bill, all right? Come on.
Bullet bill. Sorry, I'm going for the old school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Freshen up your references.
But anyway, like, if in SRL, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, because if I'm way out in first, I'm just practicing my map movements kind of almost unhindered,
but the gates
depending on how deep they are back in the shenanigans. It's like crabs in a bucket. They're all clawing at each other trying to get out, but there's too much shoving buddies.
Yeah, man.
Too much shoving buddies.
There was a lot of pushing and shoving about the place. I've noticed the folks that play to purposefully try and bash you out the gate, though. Like, I could probably put down a sizable sum and bet that they will always finish either last or in fifth. every time. They'll drag you down with them, but like they're always like it doesn't seem to pay, which I think is a good thing. I like karma. If you shove me out the gate, you're going you know you're ruining your chances as well. So yeah.
But so if I'm racing against story, yeah, if I'm racing against story, I won't just turn and try to hit him right at the start.
Yeah. I want, in that case, I want my Nova Bomb active for the moment that someone tries to push me, so I can just.
If there was some sort of supers worked in as like the item equivalents, that would just be so amazing.
It would be cool.
I would love that. Yes. Just have like a Mayhem Racing League mode where just everybody gets their super and just fires it from off the back of their Sparrow. That'd be great.
Just like driving past someone and like throwing a Nova Bomb with your left hand. Just like at the ground next to you.
I would love it too if people could come up with ways to use that as like a speed boost. I want to see someone Nova Bomb like into their ass to launch themselves.
Or you can fist a Havoc. If you go off a jump, you can come down with your Sparrow and actually like smash the ground.
Kill the people underneath. Oh. We should be designing this game.
What if they had swords? What if that was the only thing you could use was a sword?
Stupid.
Ooh. Like, you could drive up on someone and, like, carve
jousting,
them on the left.
You know, like the whole joust business, that would be cool.
I would joust.
Throwing knife make off the happen. End of the Sparrow, driving straight up and whoosh, dunk.
Okay, now I'm coming up with more ideas. So Golden Gun could shoot where the Sparrow is physically pointing. Mm-hmm. So if you have to get like right behind someone, they could be like way in front of you, but if you just like Golden Gun them once, you can take them down and pass them. Sick. And then tether, obviously you could drop a tether and it would slow people as they try to like take a turn.
Planting little like seeds.
Really strong.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sunsinger's
get in first place,
race.
Shoot a tether.
I feel like Fallout's already like trying to piece together the meta of this, like which one's the strongest super to use.
Dude, but there would be so many rude people, because what I would do, I would put the tether right before you hit the big jump on any map, so you go through and you fall off the cliff.
Oh, no.
Tether right there.
Defenders just get a bubble that follows them, so they drive in a bubble.
Oh, there you go.
And
so
they can't
safe.
Be killed by Nova Bombs and Fist of Havocs. And then Blade Dancers...
That's like the screw. I feel like Blade Dancer is like the sword equivalent. You could just like slice the guy next to you, maybe. I don't know what else they have. But yeah.
You could send out an arc wave sideways or something. I don't know.
There we go. That works.
Yeah. It could be something.
And Sunsingers can.
Sticky people.
Self-res.
Self-res, I guess.
They're bottom tier. They're bottom tier.
Yeah, clearly.
They don't race. They're not good at racing.
Okay. Jeez. Well, there we go. We have fixed Sparrow Racing for Bungie.
I think Sparrow Racing should be a spin-off game, not Destiny, but a different disc. I gotta go buy.
There we go.
Sparrow Racing.
I think we should have to spend more money on Destiny related stuff.
I agree.
Yes.
Super Destiny card. Make it happen.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to see faster, much faster. I think, you know, like. Wipeout kind of speeds that would be good, I think. Super, like, to the point where the Sparrows were so fast that it was like a tremendous skill keeping them, you know, on the track.
You want that F-Zero GX, like
F-Zero.
That's what I'm on about. Yeah, I mean, I like it. It's good. I can't play it for too long, but yesterday and the day before, me and my girlfriend were playing a lot. Like, she'd never played SRL at all before, so I set up my Xbox here and I was on PlayStation and we were both playing it and we got a bit hooked. It was kind of fun. I had to wrap up my hand like in shrink wrap and then a tubey grip and then like sweat things on it to keep the compression on it just so I could play a few games in succession. And it was really funny, man. It was really funny, but she really enjoyed it and she got me all the aren't the emblems great, like the track specific emblems. I think they look really, really good.
They're pretty cool.
So we were grinding out for those and stuff. But the one thing I noticed, like, while we were playing, for the drop rates on guns and stuff was incredibly low, man. Like Luna's, I think she got one once. I saw one, I don't know, maybe twice in a whole day of grinding. I got a troll Mapador. Loads of armor though, so if you're fresh to the game or if you're on the mission to hit 400 light, then it's definitely a great resource for that, man, because you do get showered in armor. But weapons seem like tremendously
low. They're a little scarce. But it's, I mean, they don't have to give me weapons in a racing game type anyway, so I'm not going to complain too much.
Great job getting in fifth place. Here's a gun. Here's the
meta. Here's the meta.
Okay. I'll take that one. Thanks.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah. We take those here.
Love those emblems, though. Harkon Precipice or Hakon's Precipice emblem. That, I'm wearing that with pride at the moment. That looks stunning. Yes.
Do you look? Who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? What emblem do you have? That's how I feel. Jesus.
Has anyone got any favorite bits of gear or anything like that they've had from SRL so far? Shaders or sparrows or something?
Midas.
Obviously, Midas. Is
yeah, I already said. Yes. Oh my god.
I'm still
when
about
I saw
the
pure gold.
The Midnight Lumos. Is that the pink one? Midnight Lumos?
Yes, that's Midnight Lumos.
That is still one of my all-time favorite shaders, just for how stupid it is.
The Pink Ranger.
Yes. Yeah.
Although, another really low-key good move with the Dawning. When Crimson Doubles was around, it was only around for a week, and I had a friend in town, so I was not playing Destiny at all. I got like 7 games in of Crimson Doubles and ended up getting really lucky and getting a Crimson Shell, which was like awesome. So I got the Ghost and then I got Rose Bright. But I didn't get Valentine, that bright red Paisley shader.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it dropped for me in SRL. Like all of the Crimson Day stuff is dropping if you don't have it. And I was so happy.
Yeah, man.
So I've been really jealous of everyone with that shader for months now, and I was like, it's mine, finally.
Yeah. And everybody's like, that's old, we don't care about Midas. That. Yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm going to have to keep playing, because I didn't get that shader back during Crimson Doubles either. I got the I noticed that the Ghost was dropping in SRL, but I figured it was just the festive Ghosts.
I actually just saw Valentine drop for a teammate in Trials.
Yeah, that's where I got it in Trials yesterday.
Yeah, so look out for it. Also, I didn't even see mines, and I found it on my Titan's inventory, and I was like, oh, I guess it dropped. But yeah, you'll get the shader in no time. But I was so happy, because that one looks so good.
I'm going to have to keep racing.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
I got 100% Crimson Shell the other day in SRL.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, man. I was like, wow.
That's what I'm talking about. Give me things that are 100%, because why have anything else besides gear that's good?
Why have non-100% roles?
Yeah.
Nobody wants a suboptimal.
The dead Explorer shell was 100%, the one that you get given in the Taken Quest Quinker. Yeah, that was 100%, I think.
True.
And like Discipline, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And an eerie chill filled the room.
Glad we're in.
Does this mean we've exhausted our SRL to talk about, or does Fallout have more?
That's
to say?
Fallout, man. That's
oh
Fallout.
God, no. Be good.
We'll check in with him in a couple months and see what his rankings are.
I just want to ask real quick then, what's everyone's favorite map of the four maps? Personally,
Venus.
Probably Venus.
Infinite Descent.
See, I love Mercury. That's my favorite one, because I don't get to see a lot of Mercury, so it's nice to be there.
Actually,
I think I'm tied with the two new ones.
What was that?
I'm tied for the two new maps are my favorite. I think they're both really well designed. A little more racy rather than just like driving in Destiny land. They're really great, and I love the setting of Fellwinter Peak to begin with.
Yeah.
So snowy Siva stuff, like just top tier, so I love them.
There you go.
Good.
Has anyone got killed by something yet? Like a dreg or a captain or whatever? Have you been exploded? Or the fallen walker that's on Precipice as well? Have you been killed by any of that stuff?
Not yet.
No, but I got shoved out of a gate by a servitor, and I rage quit to orbit. And
that's happened to me. I got one banged by. It was either a servitor or a captain, but literally full health. I was absolutely trolleyed by it.
I'm too fast. They got to catch me to kill me. Too fast.
Too fast. Yeah.
Speed racer over here.
Exactly.
Well, Fallout was about to bring it up, but Trials was at Bannerfall this weekend, and I don't want to talk about Trials because it was exhausting and frustrating. But Mega, you had a hell of a day yesterday.
I did.
Yeah,
so
please,
I hear.
Man. Tell us all about it, dude. Man, start from the beginning.
I had a Lord of the Rings adventure with the fun police. So I, first of all, I had to drive on horrible icy roads to get home quickly because I was like, I was at a family event. I left early. I had to tell the family members, yeah, I got to go home and play a video game. It's fine. So I speed home on the icy roads and I get on. And we are starting at 1 a.m. for him and 8:30-ish p.m., you know, like 1:30 a.m. for him, 8:30 p.m. for me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. All right.
So, I know how. Okay, sorry.
yeah, I know. So we play, and it's classic me in Trials. We get 8-0, and then it falls to shit, and we lose. And he's like, all right, we're going to go one more. It's fine. So we get another card. We get 8-0 again, and it falls to shit again, and we lose. He's like, I'm not letting this go. We're doing another card, all right?
We do
that card. Yeah, 8-0. Falls to shit again. You're done. Wow. I'm ready to sleep at this point. It's already like it's midnight for me at this point. It's 4 a.m. or like 5 a.m. for him, you know. And he's like the guy we're playing with. Like, I have to go. I have like medical reports that I have to look over for this thing. He's like, I have actual priorities in life. And Fimmy's like, he's like, that's fine. You can go. I'm not done. This is not stopping until we get flawless. So he gets another guy on. It takes us 3.5 more hours, a grand total of 7 cards where we got to 8-0 at least 5 times on those cards and failed before we finally went flawless. The just most slap-happy, ridiculous time by the end. The hardest I've ever tried for anything in this game, and it was totally worth it because I got a Vision Stone Adept, guys, and I'm going to use it. We all know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow.
For a lot of people, that story might make you want to hang yourself by your underwear. The bottom line is, I mean, you know what? Good for you, dude.
Yeah, man.
Yes. A round of applause. There.
All goes to him. He was unwilling to let it go.
Yeah.
I was like, I was totally fine with it. I was like, dude, it's okay. You can't do it. I'm uncarryable, apparently. Fallout's the only man who is strong enough to place me on his shoulders and get me to the lighthouse.
That's the new thing people are going for in the community. It's no longer impressive to go to the lighthouse. It's only impressive if you carry Mega.
Yes, because I am apparently so.
Put him on your back.
I am so cursed that I can make the fun police break. there were shenanigans too. There was at least one time where I saw his suppressor grenade hit somebody. They were marked, and then they popped a Blade Dancer right after, like on one of our 8-0 cards. I was just like, "What's happening right now? Why are we just doomed?"
It was shenanigans. We've had our fair share of shenanigans.
Oy. Yeah, you guys got to play a little bit today yourselves. Yeah, it was a fun time. Trials on Bannerfall. I give it 5 out of 7.
Playing with Jake from the Fun Police is great. I get lucky I get to play with him every weekend. I have been for the last couple of months, and he's a really dedicated, very strong player, and it is a lot of fun playing with that guy, man.
Oh my gosh.
He is a character
to play with. Like, the only reason I kept going is because we were having such a goofy, stupid time by the end, just laughing at how just fucked we were.
kind of an encouraging story, though, right?
Some
people are just like, they get frustrated. That's the number one thing I hear from people who can't get to the lighthouse. They're like, well, I just get frustrated, and, you know, screw it. Like, I waste like an hour and 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, that's a lot of time if you're playing and you have work the next morning or whatever, but just keep with it. Yeah. It doesn't have to be all in one night, but just keep going. Because you'll get there.
Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Just, you know, make some poop jokes and have a good time and keep your good times rolling. Yeah. All right?
That's your way through.
That's my pro strat.
Don't
for you.
Forget the poop jokes.
Yes.
Poop jokes are integral.
Just giggle your way to the lighthouse.
Bannerfall is a really tricky trials map.
Yes.
Yeah, really we'll call it tricky.
Yeah.
Tricky. what word would you use, Bones?
Sticky.
I don't know, man. It's a strange map because it's like it's so easy to get split up from your team while at the same time sitting in one place together as all three of you is very undesirable.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, and not I'm not talking about camping. I mean, there's strategy, and then there's just like, I don't know. But I just found myself so disconnected. And as someone who likes being the flanker who moves around, my advantage is not in my incredible gun skill under fire. It's my ability to get in different positions and hit someone from the side and be where they don't expect me. And I was so unable to do that all weekend. So my strength was taken out of the game so frequently because, like, I just didn't have an angle. I didn't know where to throw it off, and it seemed like everywhere I went, it was just like the wrong place to have gone that round.
Yeah, there's like a lot drove of me lanes, insane. A lot of lanes on that map, and you can kind of throw the dice and take your pick on which lane you want to look at, and you could be good covering two lanes at the same time, even behind cover, but there's like a third lane or a fourth lane behind you, and if you're not paying attention, you can get clipped up.
Mm-hmm.
And Bannerfall just has a very strange flow to it, I would say. Strange flow for trials. Normally, if I play Bannerfall on threes or sixes, Iron Banner, anything like that, I really actually enjoy Bannerfall. I really like the map.
Yeah, definitely.
It just has a very funky flow on trials. Yeah. I managed going flawless with my brother. We just kind of did the all offense strategy, like don't give them chance to breathe, and we just kept kind of
super
breathing
aggressive
down their neck over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually something interesting I wanted to talk to specifically Bones about, but everybody, why not? So there's that new feature in the game now where if everybody waves at the beginning of the game, then the heavy goes away by the time heavy round would naturally be.
Yep.
And Bones and I, we love to sweat. We love playing in threes where there's no heavy. I really don't like heavy in Destiny. Sometimes it can be really fun to use, but for the most part, I think it slows down gameplay.
Same.
So I was really excited about waving off heavy and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started doing a trials card with my brother, and I was like, hey, you know, we can do that. And he goes, we're definitely not doing that. And I was like, well, my brother likes to sweat even more than I do. So I was really confused. I was like, why would you not? You hate heavy ammo. Mm. I hate heavy ammo. You hate heavy more than me. And he goes, so think about it this way. If we wave heavy, we're giving them another round where they are free to camp at the back of their base, scory, build, do whatever they want. If we don't wave heavy off and we leave it there, as much as I hate having heavy in the round, we're forcing them to come out of the shadows. They have to come to halfway at the map. They have to meet us there, because if they don't... Yeah, so I was like, that's actually brilliant. Yeah. Because one thing that drives me crazy is when people play trials really conservatively, way at the back of the map. They're using scory, they're charging up, and you're just really frustrated trying to chisel away at the defense by finding the exact right angle. So he just went, yeah, we're not waving heavy.
Yeah.
And it worked. They came out of the woodwork every time, and we just baited them with heavy and gunned them. We didn't even pick it up. We just gunned them down.
Yeah, I think we waved heavy one time. Like, we all waved it off as a group, and I think that was one of the ones where we lost, because when we have a bubble titan that can drop a bubble on the heavy, that's like a free round for us, so I have no idea why we waved it like the one time we did. I was like, the next time someone started waving, I was like, I'm not hitting that button. Fuck them. Yeah, there's no way I'm waving right now. Oh, no.
I think it's because it's new. Like, we were like, well, let's try this. I want to see if this works. And then it has to be in round one, the very first round, and it has to be right at the very beginning where everyone waves, and then it will say the air crackles and burns around you, and no heavy will spawn in round three. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to
I want to say, I think that tactic of like being really campy affects people like Fallout and Bones that play like a lot of trials more than it affects someone like me, because you guys run so many cards and you're like, all right, I want to get through it, like I want to play, get it done, get to the lighthouse. But for me, it's like it's a journey. Like, I don't expect to get to the lighthouse. It's one card. I always feel like when I'm playing with somebody who's really good, they get bothered more by the camping than I do, because they experience it so much more. Like, they're just itching for a fight. Like, you're good at gunfights.
I got things to do, man.
Yeah. I talked about this on Crucible Radio, either the one that's coming out or last week, but that doesn't bother me because I understand the counterplay to it. What bothers me is when people just get so easily baited by it, and team will sit back, especially on Bannerfall. They'll hang out in the courtyard. They'll be up in their little base in the back. by the where they spawn, that's a really good spot to hang out. Or they'll just be in the A and C buildings. And yep. that can definitely be a really good setup. But I've always said that we can just you can just like totally break that setup if you just don't look at them. And that's impossible for Destiny players and for FPS players. It's impossible for people to actually take like 2 minutes without trying to look at someone. Mm-hmm. And if you can beat them at that game, I guarantee you they'll stop doing it. So I get frustrated when I fall for it. Mm-hmm. When I realize that that's what they're doing, they're not just kind of yep. playing cautious. It's like, oh, they had every intention of staying in that building, and we just threw grenades and ran in, and it made no sense. Why did we do that?
You gave them a kill.
If you can literally take a round, say that they set up in that A building, and you kind of pushed in, and they got you, and you're like, oh, they're not leaving that building, and you see them go there the next round. Find a place where you can be on their radar, you cannot. Find a place where you will never be seen. You're not, and I'm not talking about like, okay, let's play safe. I'll check this lane. I'll hard scope this lane. You scope that lane. I'll throw a grenade over there. I'm talking literally do not interact mm-hmm. with them. And they will sit in that building and go fucking insane. And they will just be like, what's happening? Why aren't they coming in? And they want to shoot just as much as you do. And I totally, totally understand and feel for everyone who's just like, I want to play Destiny. Screw this. I hate this strategy.
You want to but actively it's a strategy. Engage.
Yes. So I take back my further my previous statement. Then it doesn't affect Bones because he's a smart, level-headed guy, and he knows.
That's how I always plenty feel. Of people I play with.
Yeah, I'm always.
And
like,
I don't like
let's
it.
Just
I'm
chill.
Not saying do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yeah. just think there's a way to break that, and it's like
just wait.
All Destiny is taking advantage of people's habits of charging forward. That's literally all it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, first person to make a mistake, we win the round. Not all the time, but like. What is every trials round but like a period of 30 seconds of careful play until someone makes a move and then the game happens, so to speak. So like
Swarm.
That's just waiting a little longer. And then if you're the team that's like, I hate these campers, and you charge in or waste your grenades and stuff, then like, well, you let them win with that yep. idea.
Give
but I mean, on Bannerfall, there's no map control. You can hang out on the Mohawk and sit up there. It's just like, just try to bug them as much as they bug you, and I guarantee you it will go much differently for you. Mm-hmm. And that's also why I like the heavy ammo thing, Fallout, like you were talking about, to bring it back to that, is if this were like trials before that change, I'd wave every dang
game. Oh, God,
game.
Yeah.
I'd be like, screw this, I hate heavy rounds.
Every
and
heavy
that's what I said to people I'm playing with. You know, we'd get frustrated or we'd lose a round after the rockets, and I'd be like, don't worry about it, it's heavy round. That means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was sort of a wash round, no matter which way it went. But now that there's one in the middle, such a good change.
Yep.
Best thing they've done to trials
yep,
all year.
Yep.
All
yep,
year.
Yep,
yep. Someone in the chat is mentioning a Sunsinger self-res glitch, which I don't know if you have had this happen to you when you guys play Trials. It happened to me for the first time tonight when I was playing with my brother earlier.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah. So normally you get into these situations where you kill someone on the enemy team and then the Sunsinger comes back to life with their super and continues fighting. We got into a situation where it was just one last guy on our team, one last guy on their team, and they killed each other, and the Sunsinger revived, and I don't know what triggered this glitch to happen, but the round didn't end. Like, the way it should have been. Then, oh, all three of them are dead. The round's over.
Yeah.
Go to the next round. So it was just this guy, as a Sunsinger, just standing there. And I was like, well, this is really annoying, because now we're going to have to let it go to time. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Can they live right now? And then he goes, and he picks up his teammates, and they're standing there, getting a scory to power them up while the timer has to go all the way down to zero. And we were all sitting there, and
scummy.
Then the timer went to zero, and the territory went up, but they didn't go in, because why would they?
Yeah.
So they just sat there and kept scorying, and I was like, I want to blow my brains out right now.
That's insane.
And now everyone knows about it, and everyone can do it.
But I don't know what it was that triggered it, because I've seen Sunsinger's revive at the end of the round, but like it was some point on the clock that it happened. I don't know what the condition was. Hopefully Bungie is aware of that. And they axed that, because that was some cheesy shenanigans for sure.
Yeah.
Did you win the round?
I saw other things where someone...
Sorry.
where someone used a revive, but they came back to life without their super. So they did the whole rah, but they were just there. And so I was playing with Jake X, and he was just... He showed me this clip, and he's just standing there after shooting guys, gets two bodies. One of them pops back up, and he shoots him again, and he dies. So it was, like, over, because there was no overshield or anything. But he did just come back to life and not have super or anything like that. So I don't know. Something's a little wonky, hopefully. I think maybe it has something to do with artifacts. That seems to be causing a little shenanigans lately.
Maybe.
Oh, the Felwinter. There was a Felwinter's glitch or something. I saw some clips knocking about the place. If you equipped that or something like that, there was something to do with it.
Well, Felwinter prevented people from shooting the Aegis or whatever it's called in the new strike.
Yeah.
So they just couldn't use the super, and they couldn't shoot the overshield down, but that's PvE.
Yes. I have a plug for you. A plug. Right. Well, there was some commotion this week concerning some of the Sweats tournament rules. Some particular defender perks have been banned from tournaments, and this has caused a bit of unrest. I can see both sides of the this kind of argument, but that's not what I'm trying to plug here. A friend of mine...
I was like, it's a weird plug you're going for, right?
No, this is what's inspired it. This is what's inspired it, so just bear with me, okay?
All right.
Things being banned from Sweats, like, I mean, I respect the Sweat community a lot. I watch a lot of their content. It's stuff that entertains me as well as teaches me stuff, watching these really good players play. And, you know, exotic armor, for example, is prohibited in these kind of things.
Yep.
So a friend of mine, Gary, thank you very much for pointing this out to me, and I think this is a really good idea, is to maybe promote like a very special one-off exotic tournament where you can use exotic armor in a tournament. So this could be like Farcog/Planet Destiny exotic tournament where anyone can use whatever armor they choose to use, just for the sheer fun of it, maybe to shed a bit more light on the whole banning of certain things, and just to see, you know, what it's actually like, you know, just for a bit of fun. Maybe it could be tied in with some kind of charity kind of thing or something, because when I watch a lot of Sweat players play, and I'm like, I'd actually like to see you use an exotic piece of armor. I want to see all the different variations and the weaknesses and the strengths, and to really shine a light on what is actually, you know, overpowered and stuff like that. You know, I know that all this stuff has been tested in private matches, like, to death, but like just to have a no holds barred exotic tournament where you can use whatever, you know, what do you reckon? Do you reckon that'd be a really bad idea, popular idea, or whether it'd just be fun, you know?
I mean, it can be fun if people want to have fun with it, but I can also see it going the other way when someone just decides to complain the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's really up to how people approach it. I think it'd be cool because the fact is we can have as many tournaments as we want.
Yeah.
So it's not like if you don't want to do that tournament, also go feel free not to. Yeah. Some of my favorite clips these days are watching Ninja with No L in Trials using Twilight Garrison.
Yeah.
He made me switch back to the Twilight after I fell really in love with the Dune Marchers.
Yes.
And watching him just like disappear and swing to the side and snipe someone and jukes, and like that is gorgeous. And I love Destiny in that fast movement stuff. Like that's why I miss Blink so much. So I'd be happy to watch some Twilight Garrison action. Or some, you know, Bones of Veil.
Yeah.
Hunters really move fast. I think we'd see a lot of that. And I don't know, maybe some Ophidian aspect on the Warlocks. But I'd be excited to see some craziness, even if it is closer to Mayhem than the classic serious Sweats, basically.
Yeah, man, because I can understand why... you know, like the non-sweaty players are like, well, I get a bit bored watching this, you know, shotgun heavy gameplay all the time. I quite like it, you know, like, I mean, I learned a lot from watching the the sweat players play. I'm never going to be as good enough to be able to replicate that myself, even though I've learned a lot of stuff and I have got a lot better from it. But I would like to see some of my favourite players just use everything and just see how it can be utilised. And like, you know, one of my all-time favourites is Poshy, and I'm like, come on, man, put them bones on just once, or put Shinobu's on, you know. Just I just want to see what you could do with that, you know. Like, just I know, like, there's a very strict, it's almost like a religion, no, I will not use an exotic, because they don't like getting used to the, you know, the yeah. play. Like, if you get used to bones, it's hard to take them off again. I completely respect that, but for, just for fun, I would like to see, like, the real destiny. The real destiny is people using exotics. That's what the real destiny is. That's an everyday destiny thing. I completely mm-hmm. understand new rules and different perspectives and having boundaries and restrictions for, like, intense competition. But just as a one-off, it'd be really nice to see all these great players play with whatever they like, you know?
It's also super possible to go back and see, okay, what exotics do we not like watching? What's fun for us? What's fun to play and to observe? Because that's kind of how that rule started and became an overall across the board ban. But it's like, it's
a blanket ban.
You know, Max Armor Titans are banned for the same reason that the Ram is for Warlocks. It adds a shot to your primary engagements. That's not exciting. That doesn't add more excitement for players. So, you know, you can look at that and say, well, let's keep this. Or, you know, if people really don't like Shinobus because it's more just spamming grenades and less engagements and stuff like that, sure. But I'd love to see, like I already said, the movement exotics like Bones and Twilight. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. There's a lot of options. I don't know. So you could totally reevaluate some of them, because a lot of things have changed since all those rules were in place. And then, like I said, there will still be a tournament a couple weeks from then with all the same rules in place. So
a no holds barred PD/Varkog tournament, maybe. We'll put the feelers out, see if anyone would be interested in that.
I'm about to wreck with my Celestial Nighthawk. You guys just
I'm going to one bang you all once at some point.
Time out. I don't have my super yet.
Wait. Scarius. Sit here. Sit down. Sing a song.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a possibility.
Yeah, you know.
All right.
Here's my pitch. It's done.
Good talk. All right. Next topic. Good talk. Move on. All right. Come on.
Well done, guys.
We're done with that.
So is it Q&A time then? Is it already Q&A time? Is it coming?
I think it is.
Do you believe so?
Do we have any cues queued up?
I have a cue queued up.
I know he does.
You do?
He's got a cue cutie.
I do. Man, this guy asks good questions. This was the same fellow who asked us about the Halo question last week, about what Halo map would you want brought to Destiny.
Oh, is that Subcult?
Subcult.
Yeah, he's got the good cues.
Here's the question. Forklift versus Batman, who wins?
Does Batman have prep
the
time?
The answer is always Batman does with the forklift prep time.
But does the forklift have prep
always
time?
Batman with prep
Batman
time.
Batman with prep wins.
Wait, if forklift has prep time, it might have enough time for the two guardians who make it up to move into Batman's path.
Okay, Batman.
So
with
here's
prep
what I have pictured in my head. Batman Deej has driving all the data, all the information. He's looking at the map. He's like, yes, I see that the forklift is there. He's doing his Batman shit
before that
training montage. You know, he's drinking the raw eggs, whatever Batman does. And then he's like, all right, it's go time. And then he gets in the Batmobile and he's flying down the road out of the Batcave. And then he's like, oh shit, and the forklift is right there. And he crashes into it. And the forklift
right at the start of the cave.
I can picture the duel, Batman, forklift, and then the billions of guardians that would crash into that forklift, all crashing on Batman. So Batman's dead. So forklift wins.
There it is.
I want to see the forklift star in like a Slenderman style horror game, where like every time you turn around, it's there. You like get scared.
Jesus,
that'd
be great.
Look,
it's
have
just a guy
we
going people about his day, bumping into it repeatedly. Like, what are you?
How does this keep getting here? We need to make that. We need to make the forklift an emote here on P-Day. Let's be the first Destiny channel that does that. I want a forklift emote. Farcog,
do it before this episode comes out and everyone hears it.
Yeah.
Rip
the forklift. There was a guy on my Twitter, a friend of mine, who said, "I drive a forklift all day at work," And then I'm coming home to play an SRL and I'm smashing into a bloody forklift. GG's.
Haunts his
Can't escape.
I got another question here from Malice. Why is there no ornament for the No Land Beyond? I mean,
Bungie didn't
that's
make
a good
one.
Point.
Question done.
Let's move on. Gold.
The best answer we've had.
Black and gold, like a nice ebony wood with gold trimmings.
Oh, would be nice.
I'd vote for that. I think that's.
Hopefully it's coming.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yes. Why not? I want there to be ornaments for all the exotics. Honestly.
Ornaments for
it's
every
fun.
Gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want there to be ornaments for the ornaments.
Oh! Damn!
Why not?
You know?
Why not? Yeah, there are a couple of exotics in the game right now that don't have any ornaments, you know? All the old raid exotics. They don't have them.
Yeah.
No Land Beyond doesn't have it. Pocket Infinity doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll all get some as they move forward.
Chaperone?
I'd love a black Vex Mythic class.
I think
Chaperone doesn't have
Chaperone
one
Chaperone needs one. That's I need it to look Chaperone like it's one. The Terminator's shotgun from T2 yes. Judgment Day so yeah. I can get on my Sparrow
spin it around.
And spin it around.
I love that we love all
yeah.
immediately
yeah, we know that
oh yeah. Oh my god. That's the only reason I use the Chaperone is for that reload spin.
That can open up the doorway for I want your boots and your jacket and your motorcycle emote,
yes.
possibly.
There you go.
Oh, why not?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Why not?
Give me your boots.
Oh, technically, we already have it with the Long Tomorrow, the PS4 exclusive Hunter set.
Ah,
the Han Solo
yes.
set.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exclusives. Yuck. As an Xbox main, I'm conditioned to hate the PlayStation exclusive.
You should.
Yeah. It's dumb. And then I get them on PlayStation, I'm like, ooh, this is neat.
Yeah.
The Xbox boys
Jay
don't
Rabbit.
Have it.
Wow.
Okay, here's another question. Z487, it's spelled out Z4 and then numbers, 87 asks, are there any vanilla missions you get nostalgic over? For me, A Stranger's Call. I guess, like, what is your favorite year one mission?
Wow.
Heart of the Black Garden, the final story mission, because it showed such promise.
That was a battle.
we go. You have all these cutscenes. You're breaking through the little heart of the Vex. You see the basic cause of the Traveler's coma. Which, by the way, the Traveler, that thing this whole story is about, that Bungie hasn't mentioned for three DLCs now.
That's fine.
Yeah. So you get to fine. The you get to the heart of that. You get this awesome cutscene where the Vex are turning on you, and your character's like, Ghost is like, so. Are you ready to kill a god? And it's like, yes! Story! And you beat it, you get this awesome cutscene at the end, and then no more story. That's the end of it.
Classic,
no more,
man.
Make it sound
no
so
more speaker,
sad.
Yeah. No more stranger. It's just, that's the end.
I'm going to have to agree with TBL, because that's honestly the only vanilla mission that stands out to me in the slightest.
Yeah.
And then the sword
I like the
of
blade
Crota,
of Crota.
You know, the
sword.
First time you get to pick up
cool
that's always going to be standing
that was
strong
cool
for me.
I remember a leaked picture, or like someone took a screenshot, somehow got on the Destiny Reddit a day or two before the game came out, of this sword on the ground. And I was just like, no, what? No way. No way. We're going to use swords.
No, no.
And now it's become a thing that we can have a sword on us at any time, which is a beautiful
thing. How far
we've
gone.
Oh, yeah. I remember picking that up for the first time and going like, okay, this is cool.
I guess if we're going to talk nostalgia for missions, though, there's no mission that's more nostalgic than just hearing, we've woken the hive. Like, that's the most nostalgic thing.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't know if Nolanbot is does it quite
he does the,
as
he does,
wonderfully
we've woken,
as Dinklebot.
We've woken the hive. Is how he says it. It's just
like,
not.
We've woken the hive.
He's a little more excited about it. Yeah.
We need the fear. Yeah. We've woken the hive.
That wizard came from the moon.
Hashtag not my bot, not my ghost.
R.I.P. Dinklebot.
Oh, man.
Rip Dinklebot. Yeah. Forever.
I think
in
sometime
hearts.
In the future we should do an episode where we do like half the episode focused on questions.
I like it. I like that.
That's
less work for us to have to think of things. So I'm down with it.
I always feel bad because some of these people write really good questions that I do want to talk about, but they're so in-depth.
Well, ask them now instead of chit-chatting.
Okay, Manji, do you think buffing primaries will help balance out the shotgun meta?
I'm ebbing just towards
sink your
this.
Teeth into that one, Bones.
I'm ebbing towards this. Maybe it's going to create more problems than it would solutions. But at the moment, it's like primaries don't feel like primaries. They feel like the, is it tertiary, the third thing that you
tertiary?
Go for? Tertiary. There we go. Tertiary. There we go. There's the
aluminium.
Aluminium. Yeah.
I remember that.
Like, aping is a problem. Like, aping should be very high risk, very high reward.
I take offense to that term. I prefer warrioring.
Warrioring does sound a bit more classic.
No, you are a gorilla if you're a titan boosting forward with a shotgun. Yeah. You are a gorilla.
It's
a very,
we'll call it Winstoning.
Yeah, it's a low risk, high reward at the moment, because like the only thing that you can really handle with it quickly, like the fastest time to kill, is like using a special weapon to kind of try to counter that. And yes, it can be countered and stuff, but it's a very effective strategy, and it is very shotgun heavy. But I don't believe that shotguns need nerfing. I stand strong on that. They're already very random. You know, that's the thing that stops me enjoying shotgun gameplay as much as I'd like to, because I'm totally in the middle. You know, I'm not like a dedicated sniper or a dedicated shotgunner, but shotgun gameplay frustrates me the most because it's so random. And I'm not an advocate of random in a game like Destiny, like when it comes
I
to
I think there would be very few people who would agree with you about shotguns being too random.
They're the most consistent weapon I can think of.
No, they're the most used, but consistent is not a word that I would personally
use. No, absolutely
use.
Consistent. I can get more kills from my ammo with a shotgun than I can with a sniper. I mean, think about how many bullets shotgun blasts that don't connect.
I think shotguns are fairly consistent weapon, I would say.
I mean, they are the trusty thing to bring into a fight.
I couldn't say that shotgun gameplay is consistent by any stretch for Destiny at all. In Battlefield,
next week is just a full-on proctored debate between Story and Bones. We're gonna
that's boring.
The rest of us, are shotguns consistent?
I think if you put a poll out there, it could be neck and neck, or maybe biased towards the not consistent.
Depends on how you phrase the poll.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, it's
our shotgun's bullshit.
This is Bungie. Are they psychologically manipulating
us? It's a loaded question.
The answers are yes and clearly.
Yes. But going back to the original thing about primaries, buffing primaries. Yes, what do you reckon, guys? Yeah. What do you reckon?
My universal answer, we're talking about all primaries, you just have to picture what that means for each of them. Mm-hmm. Do you want a pulse rifle that bursts faster or more consistent at range? Do you want a scout rifle that shoots faster? They're very, accurate and consistent. Auto rifles. Yeah, maybe you do want an auto rifle to be more consistent or to hit a little harder, because you realize every time you shoot an auto rifle, someone gets out of there before you can get that last shot off. I don't know. If hand cannons are the one everyone says, like, get rid of Bloom and make my hand cannon more accurate. And I'm just like, imagine what a more accurate hand cannon would be. Because currently that is the only smart decision if you were going to play at the highest level. So now get Poshy and Gabe and Lumi all those tourney players, and now give them a better hand cannon that is hyper accurate and never misses, or maybe it's more damage. I mean, it'd be insane. So I don't really know what
one.
Buff primaries
but I,
means.
I kind
it's
of,
too
I
generic.
Know. I sort of really enjoyed that meta, and I know a lot of people probably string me up for saying this. Remember when Last Word and Thorn were just crushing the meta?
Yeah, I do.
Miss those days.
I actually do. Really
I do.
Miss those days.
And here's the one for you. I miss good Blink. I never thought I would say that. I actually miss good Blink.
Blink was fun. Yeah. Blink was really fun.
It's easy to say in hindsight, but it was the most hated thing in the world.
Blink shotgun.
Hand cannons.
I never complained about
shotguns.
I did.
When they nerfed Blink, I was one of the first people in line to say, why?
I was so sad.
Why? I
would have loved to see Blink stay the same with the changes to shotguns. There was it might have been a little into Taken King. Shotguns have been tuned a lot, but imagine shotguns now with it. I mean, it was slower equip times. That was very noticeable. Shotguns felt heavier and slower. you couldn't shoot immediately as soon as you pick it up or something like that. I'd love to see that with Blink. But again, I mean, it's all rose-colored glasses going like, oh, so great back then. But Destiny is only a product of everything we've asked for. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, the Blink nerf was asked for. The shotgun things were asked for. Bloom, I don't think, was asked for. That was just like trying to present a solution to...
Well, hand cannons were too strong.
I just don't like it. I would always vote no for randomization on any weapon, especially in a game like Destiny. I just think it's a really bad move. I think Crucible lacks consistency. For someone who wants to get better, we need more consistency, and it's like it gets less and less consistent as things go down the road for me. So I vote for no randomization on anything like that.
Is it randomization, or is it just how bullets work?
Not how bullets work. Just, I mean, you've got... The argument is that bloom only occurs when you're outside of effective range, but like not just on my own experiences, but when I'm watching other people play as well, it seems to happen well within effective range. You know, but is it due to lag? Is it
hit every bullet?
Well, yeah, but I think that's a very...
I need to clarify that because it's coming up so often, and everyone hates bloom and they don't want ghost bullets. But like, I'm thinking of myself at like a shooting range. Destiny's not real! I know that. You hold up a gun, and you've got like a little notch on a handheld weapon because you don't have a scope. So imagine no scope. And you line that notch up on the little circle of the piece of paper you're trying to hit really far away. I don't go to gun ranges. Sorry if this doesn't make
sense. It's really hard.
But you shoot it, and you definitely lined it up, and you felt it there, and you're like, this is perfect. Okay, I've lined this up, and I've taken my time. And then you shoot it, and it's somewhere in like a series of circles. But you lined it up and it looked great and it was a really good shot. You hit your target, but it wasn't right in the center. And that seems to just mean exactly what hand cannons do now, which is you point at it and it looks really good and it goes somewhere in that circle. And the farther away you get, the harder it is to really zero it in on that little circle. So I don't know what's random about that.
Authentic physics, and there is slightly more authentic physics with the way that the cone of fire and bloom works in Destiny.
So where does the random come from?
Well, because it is like super random. You can't rely on even when effective ranges. You can test this in primary and private matches. Like the bloom will occur whilst you're in effective range. You line it up right over someone's head. You know, they say pace your shots, crosshairs on someone's head.
Yeah, like 36 meters in Destiny meters.
About 36 meters.
I understand
that's
that.
With rangefinder. It's 31 without rangefinder, isn't it? For most of the meta hand cannons, the ones at the top with the max range and max impact. But I've done this many times. I'm like 10 meters away, things over the head, pull the trigger, where's the bullet go? It's gone. It's not there. It doesn't hit the head. It happens so much, but you don't know whether that's down to like the tick rate or the lag or whatever. You like there doesn't seem to be any like direct anchor. It can't just be bloom. So I don't know. That's one of the problems that I always have with it. I want some more consistency with the gunfights. And like, if you were going to apply the same authentic nature to projectiles, then look at sniping and sniper scopes, bullet drop, velocity, gravitational pull, all that kind of stuff. It's like, well, that if you applied that to sniping in Destiny, no one would ever touch it. Like the battlefield mechanics to sniping.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
They'd be like, no one would touch it.
It just sounds like it's not bloom, it's tick rates and lag and connections, and then maybe it means nothing to
well,
say
maybe
that hand cannons are inaccurate because they're the most reliable, powerful primary in the game right now.
Yes, shotguns, kinda.
Shotguns are hella reliable. You said they were inconsistent, and I'm saying they're very consistent, and so are hand cannons because they're the thing to use if you're really good at this game.
The gunplay for me was better without those mechanics. It was more enjoyable. It was just a lot more fun. Now it's not as enjoyable. It's like a big spanner thrown in the works, and I don't think that will change as far as my opinion goes. Scott's gone. Fallout's gone.
I'm still here, guys. Thanks, I'll moderate this.
Well, what's the problem with the discussion on that? You know, I'm not just going to go, oh, yeah, no, yeah.
No,
I completely agree when I don't.
No, it's,
you
know. It's just that we're all just sitting
exactly
here.
Why so
buff primaries is the thing we're all just repeating like monkeys, just like buff primaries, but it means so little to me once I actually think about it for more than a tweet's length.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can't... Buffing primaries is more than just a... You can't just have a blanket buff of primaries across the board. It's a lot more intricate than that. When it comes to hand cannons, I don't really think hand cannons need any other change. I would actually think I agree with Story. I would... the only real change I'd like to see to hand cannons is the removal of bloom. Because we do have situations where you're within
you
your range.
From the door in Bannerfall, and I'm going to hit you at tree, and you're going to be sniping me, and I'm going to hit you for 87 damage.
Let me finish. I don't want the year one cross mapping with last word. Look, that was a problem.
I'm so far away with my hand cannon
but
in the middle of the sky.
What if they changed the base range, meaning that like once you passed 40 feet or something, like what if you're shooting within an effective range of 40 meters? Sorry, meters. And then wherever you point the dot, that's exactly where the bullet hits, exactly. But once you're beyond that point, maybe there's like a really hard range fall off. Like where you're
I'm going to hit you in the foot for 5 damage and kill you when you're
not
absolutely
even in
trying
the foot,
to run around
like
a corner.
If you're within 50 meters
I'm going to kill you
from
so far
right
away.
I shoot you, but the bullet doesn't even reach you at 50 meters.
Oh, please do that. Please make us a change where bullets don't do damage. They do hit, but it's just a big zero there. I'd love it.
Bullet
I'd love to see Twitter from
it
that.
It just says L when you hit a target.
I'm just
try again.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole
like,
sign
the
like
majority of the
Looney
community
Tunes
doesn't
where
like,
they hold up a
like
flag
bloom.
And a little
yeah.
sign rolls out.
Even though we understand the physics of how...
Yes.
Hand cannons.
It's been explained very well. Like the cone of fire has been explained very well. It's just when I compare it to how it was before that mechanic, it was just a lot more fun, a lot more rewarding. The gunplay was a lot more addictive and Moorish, whereas it isn't now. Primary weapon gameplay just isn't like that anymore.
And even then, in year one, remember, hand cannons were a problem in year one. You could hit across the map for max damage with stuff like Thorn and Last
Hawk Moon was crazy.
And Hawk Moon had a huge advantage over a lot of other guns. I don't want that to come back. We don't need to be out sniping snipers with hand cannons in Destiny anymore. But I think it was Triple Rec who made a video on this a while ago, right? I think that's the video that most people watch when they're looking up ghost bullets and all of that. And there are instances right now in Destiny where you're within your range, you're pacing your shots, and for whatever reason, your bullet doesn't hit where you fire. And that's a problem. I wouldn't want to see bloom disappear and hand cannons get infinite range again.
I thought we already said that was because maybe tick rate and lag, though. We don't know what
they
it
did.
Is.
They did say that, but we've
said that, I mean, on like 10 minutes ago. We don't know the cause of that issue.
But we do know that things were different previously. Yeah. This is something that was implemented in The Taken King. Something changed. And it's made anything other than the max range hand cannons pretty much unusable. You don't see Down and Doubt in the Crucible right now. You don't see the fast rate of fire hand cannons other than the Last Word in the Crucible right now. And the reason is because they're not consistent. Yeah. They don't hit like the palindrome does.
And I think that's range finder really, really does help on a hand cannon. It's like that's what really makes, I think, the palindrome a lot more widely used. Not just the fact that it's a vendor weapon, but range finder really helps. When you've got max impact and max range with rifle barrel anyway, you put range finder on the top of it and you've just got that little bit more of a reliability to it, you know. So, I don't know, it's...
I'm going to clarify here. I am not opposed to making hand cannons better, because I'd love to see Destiny if I have an even better hand cannon.
Agreed.
But I'm saying this all in the context of, keep in mind what the biggest Reddit threads of year one were, which was hand cannons are the worst. Keep in mind, everything that's changed has been a response to
going
like,
it's,
I never asked for any of that stuff. Every time they change something, I never asked for any of the changes that they gave me. Blink, hand cannons, sun singers, any of the shotgun changes.
Well, you should tweet more Fallout.
I think I lack confidence for this discussion because
if I've ever gotten
a ghost bullet in my life, I just assumed I missed the fucking shot, honestly. I don't think I've ever once been like, I was clearly on point and I got him. So I think I just don't have enough confidence for this.
Impossible.
For this whole topic.
There's no user error in Destiny. What are you talking about?
No, never.
No, I...
I've never missed a shot.
When you're using an aimbot.
I've watched videos, and I'm
Streamer
sure...
Streamer the keyboard and mouse user.
I'm sure they exist, and I've watched videos where I'm like, oh yeah, he hit that and that missed. But when it's me, I'm always like, oh, I just missed, probably. Oh well, it just doesn't affect me at all. So that's all I can contribute to this.
Remember earlier when I said we could spend more of an episode answering questions earlier because the questions are quite meaty.
Yeah,
this is what I'm talking about.
Okay. This is what Pokemon watch.
You had
well,
any
you
question
know, like,
to drop, and you said, "Should we buff primaries?" So
that
Fallout,
was the
I'm
question
putting this
that
one
he,
on you.
You told me to read.
I know.
You were like, "Why don't you dive into one of those questions instead of us chatting here?"
Yeah,
it was a meaty question.
It was a good question. I appreciate it. I really do appreciate
it's
it.
The one that comes up every week too. I don't know how many times we've answered this.
Make swords better.
Yeah, I agree.
Dual wielding swords. How about that?
Oh, my.
I want everyone sword to have that recharges swords. I think ammo. I want it to be the heavy weapon meta. It would be so nuts.
It would be amazing.
That would actually be really fun.
Yeah.
If they made
imagine
swords
if like
amazing.
In 6v6 when heavy drops and both teams get it for like 2 minutes, it's like 12 people swinging swords around. Like, just
oh my
that.
Gosh.
Swipe,
you have to tactically
block
people.
Swipe.
Oh my gosh.
Like lightsaber so duels. Fun. I'd be into this.
That'd be the greatest, yeah.
Sword only heavy tournament? Is that the next one we're going to pitch? Like, you have to use swords?
Sure.
Yes.
You can run that one.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, you can charge that one.
Fun, Mac.
Run that one, buddy.
Perfect.
Hi. Well, I think that probably does put the nail on it.
Wrap,
we're 15 minutes over.
Up.
Even though someone we did get a very nice comment last week saying I'd prefer a 2-hour podcast, but if we're going to answer questions for a whole one, it'll probably last for like 8 hours. But it's more.
We would only answer 5 questions.
Yeah.